the skill of observation, if you're doing it right, it is as close as you can get to a superpower as it exists because of what it will reveal to you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special edition of the Daily Discipline Podcast. This is the Super Skills Series. In this series, BK talks us through 20 skills we can all use every day to improve our lives and our impact on the things we care about. He helps you break down each skill through the lens of self-awareness, self-discipline, and self-confidence. By the end of this series, you'll be able to turn these 20 simple skills into super skills that unlock a stronger you, a more productive you, and a more fulfilled you. In today's episode, we're talking about observation and how skillful observation allows you to recognize faster, anticipate sooner, and respond better. Reminder to stick around through the end of the episode so you can hear how to get your hands on free E plus R equals O resources for activating these skills in your life.
Today's skill is the skill of observation. The simple skill of observation is recognizing the patterns in yourself, in your surroundings, and in other people, and tuning your radar up to see those patterns unfolding. What the simple skill of observation is giving us the capacity for, it is giving us the capacity to anticipate sooner, to recognize faster, and to respond better. Here's what this is not, okay? A word of caution early on in observation. Observation is not trying to build the ability to assume and look into the future or look into people and guess, okay? This is not guessing. This is not assuming. This is not projecting out onto people. You can cross a line in observation where you get overconfident in reading tea leaves and facial expressions, and you start thinking you're a mind reader, okay? Or you start using what somebody has done before, and then you start guessing, projecting, and assuming what they're gonna do in the future and treating that like it's reality. This is very different. This is really about paying attention. And we'll get to this because observation is very much so a cousin of attention, okay? This is about reading situations to recognize patterns of what's going on and then using what you're actually observing. Skillful observation is not action. It's not production. It's not something that is concretely going to solve any problems for you. The role of observation is to help you see things that most people don't see, recognize things people don't see or recognize them faster, deepen and improve your understanding so that you actually have a lens and a view that most people don't have, and that puts you in a position to act in ways or at moments when other people don't. The skill of observation, if you're doing it right, it is as close as you can get to a superpower as it exists because of what it will reveal to you, all right? So here's the first thing where we're going to start on this. How do we get revealed to stuff through observation? Self-awareness. What's going on around you? What's going on inside you? Why is that happening? What will happen if those things continue? And what might happen if those things change? It's a great structure. What's going on around me? What's going on inside me? Why are those things happening? Again, we're not guessing, we're observing why those things are happening. What will happen if those things continue outside of me and inside of me? And what might happen if those things were to change? Okay, that's the first self-awareness piece. And self-awareness is related to situational awareness. We always want to have an awareness of ourself, but we want to have an awareness of ourself in the context of the situation that we're in, okay? So as you're looking at these things, the second part we want to look at is this. We want to look at, as we're looking at those five things to observe, We want to now extend that out, and here's what we want to look. We want to look at what are the factors that would lead to, again, in observation, what are the factors that would lead to success for me here, and what are the factors that would lead to failure for me here? What does success actually look like for this scenario or situation that I'm in, and what does failure look like? And you can expand it from there. I mean, I think it's a good starting point to look at success and failure, but you can look at degrees, right? What would okay look like? What would great look like? What would exceptional look like? What would trouble look like? What would really disappointment look like? What would failure, what would disaster look like, right? There's always a spectrum, and you can expand those two things and observe in yourself and in the surroundings, what does that actually look like? How do those scenarios play out so that you can tune on, hey, how does this work? Okay. The first piece of observation is actually looking at what it takes to be successful and what it looks like to go on to the failure side. And I recommend this. I recommend starting with the objective observations first. Like, what does success actually look like objectively for the scenario that you're in, as objective as it can? Now, if you're in something like, say a marriage, and you're talking about a healthy marriage, there is no objective standard for a healthy marriage or a good conversation. It's all subjective according to you and what you want. Okay, but in a performance environment, right, or in a job or a sports team or something like that, it's a lot more objective. Okay, so here's I'm just going to read right out of the guide, so you can hear this, because I think this is powerful. Observe the things that make a difference to your success or your failure. Do not use your personal preference at first. Look for what works. Look for what doesn't work, and look at why those two things are the case. Once you understand what works and what doesn't, then you start integrating your personal preferences in how you go about it. And that's such a key observation, because a lot of people get hung up following all of their personal preferences, and then they get upset when those things don't work. And I'm all for style and personal preference. I want to operate my way. But if my way is in direct opposition or enough opposition to the things that actually work, well, then now I'm using my own personal preference over what basically the laws of reality are saying about how these things need to go. So how do I incorporate observation of what works and what doesn't and why, and then fold in my personal preferences? Well, that's what the power of observation does for us. Once we know the standards, once we know the spectrum, and once we know, hey, these are the ways that it can work, these are the ways that it won't, and then here's why. Now I actually, because of that observation, I'm able to bring my own personal style and preferences into those things that I've observed much, much better, okay? Here's the second piece on control yourself. Observation is the strategic side of focus, okay? When we move from focus and attention, okay, and here's a great way to think of it. Observation is attention with purpose, right? That's what it is. The skill of focus and attention is learning how to control your distribution of attention, learning how to pay attention to the stuff that matters, learning how to block out the 99%. Observation is managing attention with a purpose, right? It's the strategic focus choice to look for patterns that are of use and of value to us for the areas that we are applying it. And it's not more attention. Okay, this could easily fit into self-confidence. I put it in self-control. Observation is not bringing more attention, right? It's bringing better attention. And in fact, when your observation is humming, when it's really operating well, you're actually paying attention to a lot less BS and useless info, and you're actually paying attention to a lot less overall, and your attention is really, really, really dialed in on those factors that make a difference. And I'll give you a couple examples of that here in a minute. So observing is free, right? Observing doesn't cost you a thing. You're already expending energy for your attention. This is about focusing that attention energy onto some different areas. When we're doing this really well, this is an opportunity, right? Every waking moment is a chance to observe again in ourselves and other people and surroundings. Observe those things, learn from them, deepen our understanding, and then convert those things into productive action. If we're observing well, we're putting ourselves in a great position to take much, much better action. And when we view every waking minute as an opportunity to observe, to teach us something about the world or ourselves, well, now all of a sudden, you know, day to day becomes a very different opportunity. I'll give you an example of how I do that in my life. And then here's the last thing. The last thing is on self-confidence. Self-confidence in observation. And I can't overstate the importance of this, and so I'll just try to get it across as best I can. Come to your own understanding and your own conclusions based on your direct observation. I think this may be more important now than it ever has been because these devices are exposing us to a level of information and a level of persuasion and a level of manipulation and propaganda that has never existed in volume in the world before. And it is hard. I'll give you a really good example. The upside of the internet era is access to information. Free, cheaper, better, more, all of this stuff, right? It's unbelievable. The downside of the internet era is it has increased the amount of useless information that we have to sift through. It's increased the amount of manipulative information that convinces us it's right. And it's actually increased the value of two things. One, our ability to focus and manage attention. And two, the skill of observation. What's useful, what's useless. When you get better at this and you're using your direct observations, here's what happens. You start putting your feet on the ground. You start putting your skin in the game in saying, why do I believe these things? Why do I have these conclusions? Why do I hold these beliefs? And where did they actually come from? And where they come from, ideally, is they come from you actually touching it in your life. It comes from you actually directly interacting with it and observing it and pressure testing whether your observations are accurate and letting the marketplace or the people or your own behavior and their consequences give you the feedback as to whether or not your observations were in fact accurate on point and off. And here's the value, here's the benefit, it's the beauty of this. No matter how hard you work, your observations are going to be wrong on a regular basis. You're going to get it wrong. You're not going to get everything right. I'm not going to get everything right. I'm going to get a ton of stuff wrong. When your observation skills are high, guess what happens? You recognize when you're wrong quicker, sooner, earlier, and you're able to make adjustments faster, better, and in less cycles. One of the easiest things that we can observe is other people. And I'll give you an example of what does observation look like for another person. Well, if you're watching other people, you can look at this. Can you observe, and how accurately do you observe? What does another person value? What does another person need? What is another person feeling, and what is creating, like specifically, what emotion are they feeling, and why are they feeling that emotion? Now, if you look at what I just laid out, right? What does another person value? What does another person need? What emotion is somebody feeling, and why is somebody feeling that emotion? Observation is observing it through their lens based on reality for that person. Assumption or projection is you looking at that person and assuming or guessing or laying your story on top of that person about what they should be, or assuming what those things would be for that person. Observation is actually seeing whether you got it right. What do you value? What do you need? What are you feeling and why are you feeling it? When you're observing well, you're not using your projections, assumptions, or your own belief system about where that person should be. You're actually looking to see, can you accurately and clearly observe what's really going on in that person and then confirm it back from them in whatever mechanisms that you can actually get that. And so observing that in your spouse or your kids or your teammates or an audience member when I'm live with somebody, I'm watching and I'm observing, where is that person right now? What thoughts might be going through their head? What does that facial expression indicate? Agreement, disagreement? Does it indicate struggle? Does it indicate they want me to stop talking and listen? They want me to continue? Are they interested? And I'm trying not to guess on all of that stuff. I'm trying to observe. And then sometimes I'll make micro adjustments while I'm going. But more often than not, what I'll do is I'll observe and I'll see if I can actually observe what's going on. And then I will check for understanding and clarity if my observation was accurate. So you can do this in relationships. And in fact, it's one of the key areas that we need to be doing this a lot is in relationships. And that means that, from a self-awareness perspective, a couple of questions that I wrote down is one, how clear are you on the 80-20 of things that actually make a difference in the key areas? So, for example, how clear are you on the 20% of things that make 80% of the difference for the way you make somebody feel in how you come across? How clear are you in the 20% of the things that make 80% of the difference with, making sure that you stay in the right emotional place in a particular relationship? How clear are you on the 20% that makes 80% of the difference on your kids feeling like you are paying attention to them and you care about them and you love them? This is what observation is about. It's about seeing those things. Now, it doesn't tell us what to do, again, but it does help us find out what really matters. And observation is the skill that actually starts to reveal those things to us. The management of attention, the management of energy, in our language, we're talking about managing focus, managing energy. Those things are related to observation, and that's why we go in this order. Focus, energy, time, and now observation. That's why observation comes afterwards, because it's really hard to be a great and skillful observer if we're mismanaging our focus, mismanaging our time, and mismanaging our energy. Get those three things right, and you'll find out that observation doesn't cost you any extra of any of those things. It's just about the strategic and purposeful deployment of them to the stuff that actually makes a difference in our life. And that's the biggest piece when it comes to being a great observer.
Hey, thanks for listening all the way through. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review because your reviews help more people find this podcast who need it. As promised, we've got links in the show notes to resources that will help you activate these skills in your life. First up, we've got the Do the Worksheet, a free E+R=O resource that helps you apply what we talked about here to your life. Lastly, if you're interested in taking the application of these skills a step further, we have a downloadable guidebook with all 20 skills only for members of the Daily Discipline community. Developing these 20 skills into super skills help you become a stronger you, a more productive you, and a more fulfilled you. As always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.